The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Can all be bone thugs, man.
I don't think one person can be bone thugs. There's a lot of them.
Yeah, there's like six of them or something. Yeah. Hey, everybody, it's a congregation of brothers. Welcome to episode 134-ish. 134. Thingy Outside the Long Box. This is our live fan interaction episode going live post-Colorado Springs Comic-Con. Of course, I'm Gabe.
I'm Juan.
I'm Doyle.
And we are...
I have to be loud for this, I think.
Yeah.
You gotta... Okay, it's in my... I'm holding the mic real, real close.
He likes to hold micros real close all the time.
They can't sexual.
Anything he's saying.
I don't know why he... Like, what the mic has to do with the phone.
Well, he's talking about... For the recording.
Oh, okay. But they'll hear me in the recording. I got you.
We're dueling right now.
We're dueling.
We are doing stuff with technology, people. It is crazy. Also, entirely unsafe.
That's not true.
Don't do this.
Driving perfectly.
He's like, he's not going to look there. Hello, watcher. He's going to just keep driving straight.
Hello, watcher. Stanley.
Stanley.
That watcher?
I don't think so.
Hey,
I think
Stanley, protect us.
I think it's the other one.
Which one's the other one?
The watcher. What? What's the watcher's name, Doyle?
Good talk. The one from Fantastic Four, but I can't remember.
All right. Good story.
Sorry. So, that's an old character, man. That's a hard one to pull out of hat.
Oh, shit.
Oh, God. It's become unsafe.
I'll remember, though, in a minute.
Just kidding.
Is it because there's a cop right there? Really?
Probably. Hello, second watcher. That's not even a cop. It's just a dude with a sticker on the back of his car.
Motherfucker is causing accidents because of a sticker.
So, overall impressions of the convention?
Slow.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think the traffic was slow. I actually felt busy.
The space was bigger, so it didn't seem as cramped as it was last time. Don't worry, Juan's keeping his eyes on the road.
Oh, who's telling me that I'm driving bad?
One of my skater's moms.
Okay, I will not insult you, skater mom.
Thank you. Yeah, it seemed less crowded this year because the space was bigger.
Right.
And I think the numbers are probably about the same still. Like, I don't think they went crazy.
I don't think they say how many either.
They don't. I don't think they like to.
I mean, it's not like it's huge. Like,
I know, but they like to keep secrets.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Project Nerd and Colorado Springs Comic Con are secrets keepers.
They
tell secrets and they don't let anybody in.
I had fun because of the people who were there and, like, you know, the interesting celebrities that you got to talk to and whatnot. But I did not like the way it's run at all, to be fully honest with you.
Yeah, I think we have that complaint pretty much every time we do it.
Yeah. What does that mean for Doyle?
I am not a fan of you patting me down for no fucking reason because I went to get a pretzel. Like, they don't do that at fucking Broncos games, like, with giant, you know, stakes, like...
Yeah, the security apparatus at that convention is out of control.
Yeah, I watched a lady fucking pat down an 8-year-old, like, Esmeralda. Like, she's good, bitch. She's not gonna kill everyone.
Yeah, it's weird.
Esmeralda a villain?
I don't know.
If it's a little kid dressed as a villain, you gotta pat him down.
Just get even if you have to, just get a metal detector.
Well, that's the thing that sucked, is they did have metal detectors, and there was a guy that was still patting you down, and they would metal detector you.
And search the shit out of your bag.
Go through your bag, like...
And hold up your weed and look at you disappointedly and put your weed back in your bag.
Well, that's gonna happen pretty much anywhere where they see it.
Shook his head at me like, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. He's like, oh, man.
I expected better of you, convention goer.
While you're in the bathroom, did you hear that guy recognize me?
Oh, no.
I was like, this is weird. So you're from thinking outside the long box, right? And I was like, we are all shitting in here, sir. But yes.
You were saying that in the stalls to each other?
No, I was waiting for Gabe to get done so I could go.
Oh, shit.
Sorry, yes, we all had to poop today.
Too much shitting.
Yeah, it's a lot of shit talk.
Hello to listeners.
Watchers.
Down to
what? Oh, watchers.
Is it,
I got to...
You ought to?
I got to have
is a... Is that his name?
What? Yeah.
The Watcher.
Watchu. Yeah, good Watchu? Job.
Yeah, I was like, I knew it would come to me.
Where the fuck did that come from?
I've been thinking about it. That just came to my mind.
I put my mind to it.
Juan and I had a chance encounter with Lance Henriksen.
Yeah,
that was fun. I waved at him, and he came over and shook my hand and talked to me for a second.
Mm-hmm.
It was really cool.
What was his line during the panel?
His line during the panel was, I heard Shatner was supposed to come and do autographs. He may or may not be here, but his ego is over in the back signing. It is really funny. It kind of doesn't stop being funny. But he was really nice. Really funny old guy.
Yeah, not very, he didn't give a fuck what you were asking.
I don't think he could hear what you were asking more than anything. And if he could hear, he still didn't care. He just wanted to tell whatever story he wanted to tell.
I won't name this celebrity, but one thing I saw that totally, like, oohed me out and I will never get anything from them was a guy had paid to get something signed and paid to get a photograph. I was kind of watching him while we were in line. And then he asked her he asked the person if they would sign it again to somebody else as well. It was to him and his girlfriend or something. I couldn't fully hear. But she was like, actually, I can't unless you pay for it to get signed again. And I was like, dude's already like 120 bones into one signature in a photo. You can't just write another name on the same photo.
Oh, that sucks. Like,
that's so stupid.
You'll have to tell me who that is off air. I will. I'm curious now.
But it's just, like, it's getting real, real expensive. Get signatures, man.
It's not.
It's the same.
It's been the same for 4 years.
Yeah, all 4 years, everything's been about
the
same. So how,
what did you pay for Freddie?
$100.
That makes more sense to me because he's Freddie, but I couldn't justify the $125 for the Red or Blue Rangers autograph.
They're so popular, though.
That's why.
They're not popular to me.
So crazy. I love the Power Rangers, man, but that is so much money for dudes who are not that famous anymore.
But they are. That's the thing, is they're such a big part of
so many
people.
There's just a Rangers resurgence right now. But even the new stuff that's happened in the Rangers world has nothing to do with their characters.
But that doesn't matter because people my age and your age remember them.
It's true.
And so
dickhead nostalgia era right now.
Yeah.
No. Eventually I'll probably,
That's why all the things that we got made fun of for when we were in high school and middle school are all super cool now. Is because everybody's like, oh, you remember when? I was like, you dickheads didn't play D&D.
Yeah.
I still can't play
D&D. It's true.
Yeah, I know. It's true.
You can. There's ways to play online by yourself with groups of people.
There are?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, maybe I'll do that since my real fucking friends didn't want to invite me.
Our game's probably going to move to Sunday with my different schedule. So there you go.
You're going to D&D and podcast?
Well, like once a month.
Oh, you do only D&D once a month?
Yeah, we don't do it every day, fool. Well,
I don't commitment every day.
Every day, that is a lot.
We're out there just rolling dice.
How long is a D&D campaign?
Well, a campaign can go for years, but like a game is like a couple hours usually.
What do you solve in the game? That's why is the campaign so long?
Because it just is ongoing.
Everything's unique,
like once you
bro.
Get done with like one storyline, you just create a new one and keep going.
But what if you die in the game?
Then you roll a new character.
It's like the Matrix. Body cannot live without the mind. Die in real life.
Jesus.
What was that one guy used to come to the game?
Which one?
He's white. He don't come no more. I'm just joking. I'm pretending like we killed somebody.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Did you give what's his name his hat?
Not yet. I haven't seen him yet. I haven't had a chance to go do anything.
Steve.
Steve.
But yes, Steve. Dom's watching.
Hey, Dom.
This is a lively and entertaining version of this one.
That's all right. We're tired.
We are
sleepy.
If you have questions about Colorado Springs Comic Con, let us know. Or anything that came out at D23, too.
You know what I don't understand? Box fans. They don't move. They don't circulate the air.
I think that box fan did well.
It did well in the living room.
Sup, Dom?
Oh, shit. Is Dom on the fucking live with us?
Yeah, he said, what's up, foos?
Oh. What's up, motherfucker?
I don't want to read it.
No, I'm reading it to you. So, as usual with Colorado Springs Comic Con, we largely focus on, we stayed in a murder basement, Dom.
Yeah.
Largely, we...
Sounds like maybe next year we'll stay with Eric.
Yeah, it sounds like next year we'll stay with Eric Hollis.
Ooh.
Eric G. Hollis.
Next year we're going to have some 60 time.
Stupid.
Shut up. What was that? G for stupid.
I don't know. I love Eric.
Everybody knows it's G for spot.
Oh. Eric was a pretty cool guy.
Eric is a really cool guy. Anyway, so we did mostly panels.
Correct.
Like what?
That's why I think right now, in this instant, that's why I'm so tired.
It's because all we did was sit.
We didn't do anything but sit, exactly. And I just feel so tired.
Yeah. Dom wants to know how Diesel was.
Quiet. He's not a talker. Like, he came to the front and he said a couple of things, and we talked about how he blew his knee, and that's why he didn't come the last time. But he was very, very quiet. Booker Diesel. T was much more interactive.
Of course.
What does that mean?
Booker T's very talkative.
Yeah, he's very crazy.
Like, he's loud and all over the place.
His moves involve breakdancing, bro.
I'll tell you, I did not know. I mean, I know he was tall, but you never know what that scale is until you're next to him.
Yeah.
And so he was fucking huge.
Nash was quite large as well.
Yeah. I felt like my hand to put my arm around him was like on butt cheek. And he's got big, tall butt cheeks, too.
Big, yes. Tall, firm.
He was nice.
Gorgeous, yeah. Luscious quiet. Butt cheeks.
Those are those fast twitch muscles.
Quiet. Yeah.
Muscle fibers.
What is he saying?
I have no idea.
I said those are those fast twitch muscle fibers.
Oh, in your butt cheeks?
I mean, I assume Booker T just has a lot of them.
Shut up. So
I talked with Booker T about Harlem Heat a little bit, WCW, his Hall of Fame. His two rings are fucking awesome. I've never seen a Hall of Fame ring in real life.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Dom says you look tiny next to Nash.
Oh, yeah, I do. I look like I told the guy who took the picture, I was like, make sure you stand far enough back so that I'm in the frame. I'm not paying for just a picture of Kevin Nash.
So, going back to the panels, what were, like, the two standout panels for you, Juan?
Oh, like, entertainment-wise?
Yeah.
The George Lowe one was really funny.
I really wish I saw that one.
You didn't see that one?
No, I don't think so.
Sleep at Tim's table.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
That is not what happened.
I mean, for nostalgia, Freddy Krueger was the best. That was the coolest panel, but... the Terminator panel was amazing because Lance was so funny. Robert was really funny too. That was probably my favorite. Just the Terminator 2 one was probably, or the Terminator one was probably my favorite.
I think for me, the standout panels were definitely the Terminator one and the George Lowe one.
George Lowe was just so fucking funny.
Like from beginning to end, yeah, it was balls to the wall. Like it was unbelievable.
He took that panel over.
How about you, Doyle?
Of the ones I saw, the Eastman one was the funnest one. I've seen him speak before. He's just like a funny, energetic guy. Tells stories really well. The Freddy one is like pretty much right up there. They're both pretty much the same kind of panel.
Right.
A lot of fun.
No, Dom, we did not moderate. We don't really get to moderate at this one because we are not part of their clique.
Or talk to people
or interact with other people.
I was shooed away from Kevin Nash. I can't be sure if that's because I asked him where Booker T was or if I'm just not allowed to talk to him.
Bill Shatner, that was a good panel, but he didn't really talk about anything.
He mostly talked about horse racing.
Yeah.
He basically just comes out and starts talking.
I don't think Shatner gives a fuck, dude. If he had a dog just playing that morning, that's probably what you'd be talking about.
Probably. I mean,
he's like,
why
they're
not
lucky to be in my presence.
He did, like...
And then he just Shatners all over you for about 45 minutes, and then he gets out of there.
Push the moderator off of the panel. Like, basically told the moderator when he showed up, yeah, you're not moderating this. Like, made him change the whole stage.
So I wonder if that has to do with him wanting to tell the first, like, 20-minute story.
Probably.
As opposed to being led somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
You could just tell your moderator that, though.
Right.
Like, if you're like, I have a story that's going to open up for about 20 minutes, just introduce me and ask me this question. And then shut the fuck up.
Well, Dom, we did get a couple interviews lined up. We went and watched a movie for Jurassic Thunder called Jurassic Thunder. I think we're going to try to talk to them. It's a ridiculous, like, B-level, like, dinosaur action movie that I loved very, very much. I'm very excited.
The last half hour was amazing.
The last half hour was amazing.
So I don't think they know why we can't talk to you.
Yeah. Oh,
fuck. So, can't like, we talk about?
Huh?
Why we can't talk to people.
Why we can't talk to people, not why we can't. We can talk about it.
Oh. So they just don't let you interview.
I think Dom is getting...
I was shocked that you were interviewing, what's his name, who draws Eddie? I know his name.
It's because we had set that up months ago.
Oh, okay.
We talked to him once before, and then so when we came up to San Diego Comic-Con, he was going to be at, some guitar booth, some musician booth. And so I emailed his wife again just to see if we could do it again. And they're a couple that doesn't really like crowds.
Is that better, Dom?
So this is their... is the air conditioning on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He gave me a thumbs up. So.
We will suffer. It's cool.
And so they usually generally just go in and out quickly. This was their... I think it sounded like this was their first San Diego Comic-Con. And so they just weren't... Like, the big crowds are no good for them. So I was like, okay, I'll hit you guys up when you come back to Colorado Springs, because I knew they would be coming to Colorado Springs. And so I just been emailing her the last few days. She told us to stop by.
Yeah, I was just getting shooed away from, like, talking to people the day before with a press pass on. Like, I was, like, walking up to him, talking to him, and then security walked by every once in a while. I'm like, you can't do that. Got here. Yeah. When I was handing out cards that second night, I got pushed along by security probably 3 different times. Not forcefully, not like they were dicks or anything. They're just like, hey, you're standing there, other people trying to get here, you can't be doing interviews or talking, you gotta go.
They take security way...
Not interviewing anyone.
Way too seriously at the show. And they take, like, the volunteers, like, I feel like they're told, like, be jerks. You know what I'm saying? Like, they... If you have your heel on the wrong side of the tape line, somebody's going to come up to you and talk to you about it. Like, it's unbelievable, like, how over the top they are.
I had fun, though.
I had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
This they just need to chill out.
This next couple weeks will probably be pretty article heavy as opposed to episode heavy.
Right.
So, I mean, I had a lot of fun. It's just different. It's just so much different than the other Comic-Cons.
Yeah, he is holding on for dear life back there. It's pretty awesome.
All right, guys, you're about to see us get brutalized by the police.
Oh, yep, there he is.
Or State Patrol.
Let's just go ahead and put that right there.
License plate number CSP71. I stopped.
That's a YouTube video.
I'm just saying, you never know when you get fucked up, man.
Yeah, hopefully we don't get shot.
We are 3 brown guys doing weird shit in a car.
Has his hand the warp handle?
This handle.
Oh. You mean the oh shit handle?
Yeah.
What is that, like, for warp speed?
I guess. I don't know.
Who knows?
I don't get Dom's joke right there.
This traffic is awful.
It is.
Yeah, Dom, we need you to clear some shit up for us. This traffic-wise.
Three Latinos get smashed live.
How come Dom doesn't come to fucking Colorado Springs Comic-Con, Dom?
Yeah, Dom, you're so close.
Much closer.
You could have Comic-Con'd with us.
I feel like John has some kind of vendetta against this show, so that's why he doesn't come.
Probably. So while we're waiting for Dom to respond why he doesn't come to this convention, what are some of the other highlights of the show?
I finally got my backpack.
After 3 years of asking for Yusuf.
From Click Slate.
Yeah.
I'm excited to open that
Stick
up.
Slate.
Stick Slate. There you go.
Nailed it.
I got a lot of autographs. I got an autograph from Kevin Nash, Booker T, Freddy Krueger, Kevin Sorbo, even though a lot of people hate Kevin Sorbo for some reason. He was very nice to us.
Yeah, we got no problems Sorbo-wise.
Yeah, Sorbo, we got your back, bro.
And the opposite side of that coin, we also got your back, Bacula.
Nobody knows that story.
That makes it the best.
I always have fun here because it's so easy to go to the celebrities and get interviews. Or, I mean, get autographs, yeah.
One of the highlights for me was that Robert Englund was, like, super nice. Like, when you walked up to him and talked to him to get the autograph, he chatted to you for, like, a little bit. And he clearly loves spending time with the fans, hanging out with the people, being cool with them, you know? Dom says he worked. He says, no, Sorbo.
Sorbo?
Yeah, Sorbo. I don't think people like Sorbo.
I don't understand,
dude.
Well, he said some pretty awful things. I did look him up.
What else did he say? One thing he said wasn't that bad.
No, I looked a bunch of them up later because I get interested.
No.
It's pretty rough.
Well, you've been fighting Hera for as many years as he has. And Xena's the only person you hang out with.
You're half god and half human. Sometimes you fuck up.
Yeah.
It was weird how...
Men wore rough leather pants to guard his loins for years.
It was weird to me how everybody was like, you know, yay, Kevin Sorbo, you talked about being a Christian actor, but he was also telling like really off-color jokes and being like kind of a like sarcastic guy just wouldn't expect.
Yeah.
It's just weird. It was
to
a weird
me,
thing.
He came off like an everyday man. Very nice to us.
Yeah. Got no beef.
Yeah.
Chicken.
He does love the D-Trumps, though, so...
Yeah, I mean, that's his politics. I like Hercules.
We will drive safe, Dom. Thank you very much. Glad for hanging out, man.
Thank you. Dom. Thank you. And he only likes Trump because they have similar hair.
Scott Bakula's hair doesn't look like Trump's hair at all.
No, not at all.
I was talking about...
The sorbs. The sorbents.
They don't really look like they both have the same kind of cut. Except for Trump's belonged to a dog of some kind before he put it on his head.
So, last night we recorded a little bit.
Maybe.
We recorded...
I don't know if that's ever going
to
hit.
Yeah.
We recorded an episode...
Might have to be a Patreon-only exclusive.
We recorded an episode that ostensibly was about Blade.
I'm sorry, Jason. I tried.
So, that
drunk high boy over here wouldn't let me wrangle it back in.
We were.
I was the one that was trying to wrangle it.
No, I said we're not even talking about fucking Blade, and Jason is the one that picked it. You're like, he should know better.
He should know better, but
we were all a little fucked up, Jason.
To do a service to Jason. At the end of this episode, we're, you know, like we do with our live episodes all the time, we'll go a little bit long. We are going to talk about Blade.
Yes.
Because it deserves actual talking about. Yes. So, first of all, Blade, released in 1998. It's basically considered one of the early, like, Marvel superhero movies.
I was 11 years old.
Huh. I was 19.
Old bitch.
Yeah, I am. But starring Wesley Snipes, Stephen Dorff, other people. Whistler. What is his name?
Chris
Christopherson. That's what I was looking for. A lady whose name I don't remember either. And I don't want to pull my phone out because I'm holding all sorts of stuff right now.
The black lady?
Yeah, that he acted.
I don't know her name either.
I can't remember
the
actress's name.
Famous at all.
I don't think she is, but
I mean, she still has a name.
Yeah, I mean, she deserves the respect because she's like, you know, the co-actress.
I agree.
Really good movie, obviously.
This movie was black before Black Panther.
That's true.
It is true.
I mean, it's true.
It is not. Black Panther is not the first black superhero movie by a long shot.
Not even close.
Yeah. So... Initial thoughts on Blade. What do you think, Juan?
I love Blade. I recently just watched this. It was funny that he said it. I probably watched it like a month or two ago. Hello, Popo. I love the movie, though. I love the horror. I love the comedy that Whistler has. I love the cheesy fucking... the dopey lines that we get every once in a while. I can call all that shit coming. I must have seen it so many times that the movie just comes to me naturally. I love the movie. I have nothing but great things to say about the movie, except for the very, very end, which I think we spoke about a little bit the other day, too.
And that largely just has to do with, like, the graphics of it, right, more than anything. Like, the end itself is pretty satisfying. It just looks really dopey. How about you, Doyle? What do you think, bud?
It's kind of the same thing. That movie... This is one of those movies that when I saw when I was a kid, I was like, that was badass. You know, I was like, that was the shit. And it's still pretty fucking good today. Like you said, like, it holds up. The acting's still perfectly fine. I enjoy the seediness of his character in this one more than the other ones. Like, he's still going to, like, a back alley bodega to get his, like, serum. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it has a sweet feel to it.
I can't remember what happened to the serum in the second one.
They turn it into... I don't even know if they fucking use it in the second one.
That's what I couldn't remember if that was even a trope.
And then in the third one, he has the inhaler.
So I'd like to announce really quick that Jason is on and watching.
Oh, ooh.
Jason.
We're trying to fix a mistake.
So there will be a pop culture classic Blade episode.
Some motherfuckers.
But we're talking about it right now because you deserve better.
Some motherfuckers are always trying to skate uphill.
I've just said that quietly.
So for me, like, this is one of those movies that was like,
he's gonna rob him,
pretty influential when I was that age. Like, I saw it, I thought it was really cool. I really enjoyed the characters that were in it, because they were ones that I was pretty familiar with the Marvel universe. Hi, Thomas Burbank.
Burbank.
Oh, sorry, I just can't see that far away. But
I just know because you said it wrong. That's the only reason.
Nice. It was a big deal for me. It was one of those movies that I watched several times in the theater, bought it on VHS when it came out, like, really, really loved it. Loved the soundtrack. Like, I thought the soundtrack was really cool when I was, you know, 19, but I also thought the Mortal Kombat soundtrack was really cool at that point in time. So,
Mortal Kombat!
It's one of those movies that was very influential, I think, for a lot of people. Like, I don't think there would be a Matrix if there wasn't a Blade.
I think that's very accurate.
I feel like it holds up because, largely because it doesn't deal with a ton of real big graphics or anything. A lot of it is just martial arts, and it just becomes a martial art movie with vampires. And so that's hard to... Like, some of that doesn't just go away, you know what I mean? It's hard to it's easy for that kind of stuff to keep in, to be okay to upon rewatches, in my opinion.
I agree with that. Like, so much of what makes the vampires look cool is just the way they're dressed, their fangs, right, and blood. And that's something that you can do for $15, you know, as opposed to put that shit in my hand. As opposed to, like, a big, like, even the first vampires that he hits with, like, the counter serum, the anticoagulant, when they blow up, that looks pretty cool, but it's because they're small practical effects, right, where at the end it ends up being kind of crappy looking because they just didn't have the technology to do what they wanted.
Do you notice his arms while he's fighting?
No.
His arms.
So it took me a long time to see this. If you slow it down while he's fighting Frost with the sword, Frost is blocking his sword with his arms, and his arms are being cut off, disintegrating, and growing back quicker than you can really see.
So
they do it super fast. Like, you can barely see it in the movie.
Jason says that Wesley Snipes was just a badass.
That's true.
That is true.
That's true. Even in,
I don't think was is even the accurate word. I think he is a badass.
I think he could still kill some vampires right now.
When he finally got out of jail and went back to doing the Expendables.
Yeah.
I was a fan of his in that movie, too.
He did make this terrible movie called Ghost Walkers. It's essentially about Western... Draculas, vampires, but it's pretty terrible.
Western Draculas.
I liked the weird, like, hybrid zombie vampire at the end.
Yeah, that was pretty fun.
Karen!
Jason says he's still so cool, that's why it holds up for me.
Zombie vampire.
That's true.
He looks so Like he seems so imposing in this movie, but when you see him out in, like, real life and pictures that people take and, you know, him interacting with the world, he seems so much smaller.
And nice.
Well, he's, like he's always he has smiling. Physically lost quite a bit of body mass he between might, then
sure
and now.
I'm sure he did, but he looks... It has to do, I'm sure, with the way they shoot the movie, too, but he looks just big. He looks, like, tall and just broad and massive. But he looks pretty small lately, and maybe because he doesn't have enough money to feed himself because he got to give it to the IRS, but I don't know, who knows?
So, we've talked a little bit about it, but Mahershala Ali as Blade, how do you guys feel about that?
I don't know. Because everything I've seen him in up to this point has been talky, like spoken word roles mostly. Where he's got to do a lot of his acting with his face and with inflection and shit. And I've never seen him do anything real action-y.
Right.
So, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, he's a good actor.
How about you, Doyle? What do you think of it?
About?
Mahershala Ali taking over as Blade.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, it's weird because I still think Snipes could still do it. And I would just love to see that continuation. Like... Old man Blade, I don't know, it'd be kind of sick as fuck to me.
There have been rumors that he might play Dracula in the next movie. Would you be cool with that?
Yeah, I'm totally fine with that. I'm fine with passing the torch, too. I mean, like, as long as he can bring the same physicality to the screen where, like Juan says, when Blade is standing there at the beginning scene in the fucking club and all the other vampires are there, he still looks like the badass with, you know, 50 people surrounding him. Like, I don't know how another actor pulls that off as well, because I don't think a lot of actors can, but if he can do that kind of thing and move like Blade is supposed to move without the CG fighting that we got in the second movie,
right?
I think it'd be pretty sick. So,
Jason said...
I'm willing to give him a chance.
Jason said it would be cool if Marvel retconned in the first Blade movies into the MCU.
I think they should.
So that they don't have to do an origin story. So say Blade 1 basically is Blade 1, and the new Blade that comes out is like Blade 4.
Ooh,
basically.
Blade's son.
Son of the Blade.
Yeah. Pocket knife.
Pocket knife.
That's funny. I like it.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Is my cousin Brass Knuckles.
So, go.
So is the second one the least favorite or the second favorite?
It's the second favorite.
I like the third one better than I like the second
one. I like the second one a lot more than I like the third one.
You are in a minority there, I think.
Because I like the first one the best.
Well, yeah, that's...
They couldn't even get his clothes right in the third one.
It's the third one's a weird movie. Now that we've talked about it, I understand why you like it, but it's just not that great of a movie. Whereas the second one is pretty cool.
I feel like the vampires in the second one were like way overdone, in my opinion.
Well, they were
mutated. Guillermo del Toro.
I know why they were. It just seems unnecessary. And so does the Pomeranian dog in the third one.
Oh, yeah.
That seems very unnecessary, too. I don't know.
They're very comic booky, though. Right. Those are super comic booky things. And this is coming from a time of Marvel films when things were very different. Jason says that he likes Blade 2, personally.
The best?
I like Blade 2 as well.
I don't think he means the best. He's just saying he likes it.
I like Blade 2.
Like, if you cut this...
I don't like it.
You don't have to cut it. You just have to go through it. The CG where it gets out of hand is a little rough, but I still like the movie. The bad guy's still super impressive, I think.
Right.
Actor. The second one, I think he acts the role incredibly well. I forget what his name is, but...
I completely... Like, the second one's story, I don't even remember, aside from these mutated, weird fucking vampires.
He's the son of the super old vampire who's trying to... genetically breed daywalkers, so he's like a fuck up. And unlike other vampires, every single person he bites turns into a vampire like him, and they have to feed every single day, multiple times a day, as opposed to like once a week. So the vampire's like, ah shit, we done released a vampire plague. Gotta get Blade. Then they get a cheesy group of vampire hunters who are going to kill Blade to go hunt
him. Whistler comes back as a bad guy, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, I forgot. That second one, wait, like I said, is
he's not a bad guy.
Yeah,
what do you mean? I think he ends up like redeeming himself in the end, but I'm pretty sure he was a bad guy at the beginning of that movie.
No, it's Scud is the bad guy. Ooh, from Walking Dead?
Well, I don't mean the main bad guy, but I feel like he turned on.
He's more, he's like an antagonist in the second one.
I don't think so.
I'll
have to rewatch it.
Yeah. It takes them a while to find him because they're moving him around tank to tank. And he's all pissed because he's like, you couldn't fix my fucking knees while I was doing that shit. But yeah, he's not a bad guy.
The third one's easy for me to remember because it's the Dracula storyline.
Jason says it was like the first one turned up to 11, but I love GDT.
Yeah.
GD. Oh, Guillermo del Toro. Oh, that was it.
This is one of my least favorite depictions of Dracula.
Oh, the third one? Yeah.
No, I'm just saying it's easy because it's an easy storyline to remember.
I liked the way that it was going. Like the epic gladiator, like, I'm the best vampires used to be and you're the best they are now type of deal. It's kind of like Rocky Balboa.
Then where'd it go? Where did Siri wrong?
Just every bit of acting after that. the characters that are just fucking ridiculous. Like, this might have opened the way for Ryan Reynolds to play Deadpool, but it was at what a cost, you know what I mean?
What a cost to him.
Yeah, he made money.
It's just, I just didn't really enjoy the feel of the whole movie.
Alright, so going around as we wrap this up, Juan, thumbs up, thumbs down?
Thumbs up.
Yes.
For sure.
Doyle?
Yeah, definitely two thumbs up.
Nice.
One for Tim as well. He liked it.
And Tim.
I also will give this one a thumbs up because it's an awesome movie. It's like one of my favorites. So.
I love it.
Right? Well, with that said,
we're watching Beverly Hills Cop.
Next.
Correct.
Next.
That's the first one.
Yes.
Yes.
BH Cop.
BH Cop, as Eric Hollis said.
I mean, it's like it's
Eric G. Hollis. Don't forget the G.
Sorry,
he gets
a lot of letters.
He's white. So we're going to be watching Beverly Hills Cop next time.
Correct.
And we will be recording again soon. Please be keeping an eye out for new episodes coming up to every single week. Yes. We will have
as well as interviews,
all sorts of extra stuff. Yeah. But two episodes every single week at the bare minimum. You can find us at www.totlb.com. And of course you can join us on Patreon at patreon.com/TOTLB, where you can find all sorts of cool stuff. So
the drunk episode might end up on Patreon.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. There's a slightly Nazi guy there, so that was weird.
Yeah, a Nazi guy from Africa who hates leukemia.
Yeah.
Super weird.
With that said, I've been Gabe.
I'm still Juan.
I'm Doyle.
Bye.
Fuck you, Tim.
Later, Jason.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Barren Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barren Space production.